It was evening on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week. The doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails, my hand in his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and through believing you have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All things were created for him, through him, and all things were recreated through him. We have here images of recreation, being made anew in the Lord, especially as in the symbol of the breathing on the apostles. As it says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He then breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This harkens back to the image given in the book of Genesis, in which the Lord God breathed over the waters and created the rest of creation. So what we see here is the apostles, in some sense, are recreated to be able to forgive sins. But they can only forgive sins if they hear the sins. Right here is shown what is necessary to go to confession, to confess your sins, because Christ Jesus made it the way for forgiveness of sins. This is a renewal in the Lord, in that he goes back, as we see in the images in the Acts of the Apostles and here in the Gospel, reversing what was lost in the first creation. In the beginning, there was no sin, there was no disease, and there was no death. Now we see the signs of healing by the apostles. Jesus himself overcoming death in his resurrection. And Jesus overcoming sin, disobedience, with his mercy, with the sacrament of confession. So the Lord is reversing what was lost, and even giving us greater mercy and love, and that he gives his very body and blood, his very person to us, making us children of the Lord. And the Lord offers this mercy not just as a gift to those who are running after him, seeking repentance, but he, if we pay attention very closely, runs after us. Here in the gospel, it says twice that he passes through shut doors. When the apostles were living in fear because of the Jews, the Lord Jesus did not mind the doors, which are symbols of their closed hearts. Rather, he opened up with grace their hearts and entered into their presence, first giving the apostles the power to forgive sins, and then showing his desire to give mercy as he kept lifting them up in his appearances. What the Lord was showing is that he runs after the sinner, those who are away from the Lord, just like the good father in the story of the prodigal son does not wait for the prodigal son to completely return, but as soon as he catches sight, runs after him. This is the way of the mercy of the Lord. But sadly, we know that there are some in the time of Jesus who did not accept the mercy of the Lord. Especially we can think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were making up lies and stories about that Jesus didn't resurrect to hide the reality of what had happened. As far as we know, they didn't receive the mercy of God. They could not have received the mercy of God because they did not think they were sinning and would not have asked for the mercy of God, the mercy of Jesus. They did not recognize Jesus as Messiah, and even when he did the great sign of the resurrection, they still would not recognize him as Messiah. They were calling the way of Christ, as they called Christ, the way of Satan. Therefore, because they were not even thinking about repenting, they could not receive his mercy. This marks off the limits of the mercy of God. See, there is in truth no sin greater than the mercy of God. No amount of murders, abortions, doing terribly scandalous things, abuses. If one truly repents, the Lord can't give and won't give mercy to souls here on earth before you die. But if we do not acknowledge our sins, do not seek repentance, we cannot receive his mercy. Sadly, this is where we see many people today. They dismiss their sins or justify them, saying, this is a matter of progress. The culture is progressing past the old ways of thinking. We do not think necessarily, we don't need to think about mortal sins. There is no hell that lasts to eternity. Everyone goes to heaven. These are all heresies. The church is continually taught eternity of hell. Or others will say that only the really bad people go to hell, and very, very few. This is contrary to what has been given to us in the Bible and to the saints throughout the centuries. But the Lord continues to hold out his mercy in many and various ways, especially to us Catholics, to have the knowledge of the way of salvation. That he has poured himself out on the cross, giving his very blood and water, which poured out in his dying moments, and was revealed right after he died on the cross, the font of blood and water pouring out, which you see in the Divine Mercy image. Signs and symbols of the sacraments he gave unto us. Baptism, to wash us from our sins. Confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, that second plank of salvation. the Eucharist, in which he gives his very body and blood, confirmation, in which he gives us the strength in the Holy Spirit, the sacraments of vocation and marriage and ordination of the priesthood, and that strength in the sacrament of anointing to carry us home to our heavenly homeland. These are all fruits of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. We should take hold of these, not just enter into them every 10, 20 years, but frequently enter into that font of mercy. Today, we have the opportunity to get a plenary indulgence, and we know, we've heard from the revelations of St. Faustina that those who are devoted to mercy will not suffer the eternal fires. This is the way of the Lord. He wishes that all Catholics follow the normal way of entering into confession. But he also reaches out with extraordinary graces, seeking to penetrate those hardened hearts, the lukewarm, those far away from him. And we don't know the exact graces that the Lord gives to those who are dying. As you'll see in the bulletin, I myself have had graces to be able to be saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet for relatives who are dying right at those moments from far off distances, thousands of miles away, in the middle of the night even. This is one of the promises that there be great graces poured upon the dying if you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet in their presence. This is, we say, like the rope that the Lord holds out for those who are falling into the depths, that they can grasp onto. I've also heard a tremendous story about a husband and a wife who had been separated, divorced even for a while, and the wife kept praying, the husband falling into despair after years of separation, and his second civil wife walking away from him, tried to commit suicide. But his sacramental wife kept praying and sacrificing for him while he was in a coma. And he said continually, after he woke up, he felt he was being pulled into this red abyss, the fires of hell. But he kept being pulled out by the distant prayers he heard, the Divine Mercy, the rosaries being said. And finally, when he came to, he asked immediately for a priest to go to confession, which he hadn't done in years. Confessed, and then afterwards told his wife what he had seen, was reconciled with her, did repentance, still doing repentance for his past life, and is eternally grateful for the one who interceded for him, his wife, his children, and the great mercy of God that's beyond all of this. This is just one story of many of the mysterious graces that we may not know, reaching out with those ropes of mercy. Would then that we would all be devoted to the Divine Mercy, never give up hope, and preach about this and teach about this to souls today who are in most need of this. Call out, take this last chance for mercy. Do not live with that hardened heart. Do not live in the progressive mentality of there is no sin. Come into the heart of Jesus. Accept his mercy. Repent. Because after the time of mercy comes the time of justice, in which there is no more time for mercy. The Lord's justice will reign for each one of us at our deaths and for the whole world when the purification comes. Would then we be ready by living close to the mercy of God, living in his heart, where love and suffering are held together, knowing that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.